Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, as we look at how Hannah rang out the good news, is the first lesson from 1 Samuel chapter 2. I don't know how much we all really know about Hannah, and I think as far as really understanding Hannah and what she went through, you almost have to be a mom, which obviously I'm not. So it's really hard for me to really put myself into Hannah's shoes. Hannah's life was not very happy. She was married to a man named Elkanah, and Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and another one named Peniel. And Peniel had a number of children, and Hannah was unable to bear any children. And this really bothered her because she wanted children so much. And even though Elkanah kept reminding her how much he loved her and that he still loved her even though she hadn't given him any children. But Peniel wasn't quite so kind. She would often ridicule Hannah. In fact, the Bible tells us that she often brought Hannah to tears. Well, every year, the family would go to the temple in Jerusalem for the festivals. And one of the things Hannah did every year is she prayed to God and asked that God would give her a child. And one of the times when she went to the temple to offer that prayer, she said to God, if you answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will dedicate that son in service to the Lord. And before the year was up, she had a son and she named him Samuel. Now, Hannah raised Samuel at home for probably 4 or 5 years till he was weaned. And this is the part that had to be so difficult. She then took Samuel to the temple and went up to Eli the high priest and told Eli about the promise she had made and said, this boy is now going to serve the Lord. So I'm going to leave him here and he is to serve you in God's temple. She left him there. She went home. Can you imagine that? Yeah, that's why I said you almost have to be a mom to understand it. But every year she would come back and visit her little boy, and every year she would make him a robe, and every year probably make it a little bigger as he grew. But then again, she would go home. Had to be so difficult. But she made a promise. And she made a promise to the Lord. And as we look at Hannah and that promise, what is before us in this section of 1 Samuel is what Hannah says and what Hannah does the first time she brought Samuel to the Lord. Listen to what she said if we look at the first couple of verses. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted up. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There was no one holy like the Lord. There was no one besides you. There is no rock like my God. Now, you would think from a human standpoint that when Hannah got there, she would go to the Lord and do anything and everything she could to get out of that promise, right? I maybe say, you know, I was so distraught over not having a child, and I really didn't know what I was saying. It was totally foolish of me. Surely you understand, Lord. I just can't do this. But she didn't do that. If you notice what she did, she offered a prayer of thanks to God And she rejoiced and she praised her God. My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord, my horn, his strength is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. Then she says that God is one of a kind. There was no one holy like the Lord. There was no one beside you. There is no rock like my God. Now, to me, that's absolutely amazing. That she understood that Samuel was a gift from God in answer to her prayer, that Samuel was to be in the temple in service of the Lord, and she praised God for giving him that son. She understood that God was in control of her life, and as she went home, she said, "There is no rock like my God." She fully trusted in God to support her and to get her through this. Then we look down at verse 6. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. Again, talking about the fact that God is in total control of her life. And by the way, she did have five other children. So God continued to bless her. But what he's saying here is God brings death, God makes life. He's in charge of life and death. God brings down to the grave and raises up. He sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Set the foundations of the earth. Now, just again, an amazing hymn of praise as she fully understood that God was in control of her life. And if we know the rest of the story about Samuel, you know, it's really true. God was the one who guided and directed all of this. You know, Hannah was not without children simply because God was being mean and cruel to her. It was because God had a plan. And God wanted her to keep offering that prayer for a child year after year. And God wanted her to make that promise because God knew all along that she was going to give birth to a son and name him Samuel. But even more importantly, is God already knew how he was going to use Samuel and, of course, Hannah in his plan of salvation. Look who Samuel was. Samuel became actually the last of Israel's judges and one of the greatest prophets in all of Israel. Samuel's the one who went to the high priest Eli and his sons and pointed out their sins, how they were no longer following God's commandments and actually making a total joke of all God's sacrifices. And Samuel's the one who went to them and pointed out their sins and said, "Eli, your two sons and you are all going to die on the same day. And we're going to find a different high priest who's going to bring Israel back to worshiping God the way he's supposed to be worshiped." It was Samuel whom God used to go and anoint Saul and later David as the first two kings of Israel. It was Samuel who was the personal advisor to David as he ascended the throne of Israel. One of God's greatest prophets. It was Samuel who prophesied that the Savior would be born from one of David's descendants, which of course he was. This was all God's plan. And as difficult as it was for Hannah to go through life without any children and then have a son for 4 to 5 years and then not give him up, but have him live and be of service to the Lord in the temple, was all part of God's plan. And what Hannah is saying here as she's offering this song of praise is she's really saying, God, you use me in whichever way you want to bring out your plan of salvation. And Hannah knew that too. If we look at just the last two lines in quotation marks there, it says, he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn or the power of his anointed. What's interesting about those words of Hannah is he talks about his king, and who was the king he was talking about. Israel didn't have a king. In fact, Saul and David hadn't even been born. The king she was talking about was the promised Savior. And then she mentioned him as his anointed. And by the way, the Hebrew word used there for anointed is Mashiach, which is Messiah. In fact, this is the first time in the Old Testament that the word Messiah is used referring to Jesus, and God used Hannah to speak that word. So Hannah knew, didn't she? Hannah knew that her son would be used to bring about God's plan of salvation. Now granted, she didn't know all the details of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, but she trusted in God's promise to send a Savior, and she accepted her role as being part of that plan. And I guess if we're going to try to apply this to our own lives, have you ever wondered what is God's plan for your life? Now, I don't know every detail of God's plan for your life. I don't even know every detail of God's plan for my life. But yet there's part of God's plan that is exactly the same for every one of us. It is God's plan for us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, isn't it? It is God's plan to bring you to faith in Jesus. It was not only God's plan to send Jesus, but it was God's plan to use the Holy Spirit to bring you and me to faith in Jesus. And through faith in Jesus, it's God's plan to keep us in the faith and God's plan to take us to heaven. That's the same for everybody. And by the way, that plan is working out very nicely in our lives, isn't it? As we sit here as people who know and believe in Jesus as our Savior. But what about the rest of God's plan for your life? You know, I have no idea what God has planned for me in the future. Do you know, you can look back on your life and you can say, well, I know what God's plan was for me in my life. See, because God's plan is not only for us to come and know Jesus as our Savior. What God's plan for every single one of us is that we would share Jesus with others. There's so many places in the Bible where God tells us to do that, you know, including the Great Commission, right? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. And that's God's plan. So I know it was God's plan in my life, at least part of God's plan in my life, to bring me to Chicago and have me sharing Jesus with all of you for the last 35 and a half years. It's part of God's plan, not mine. And I don't know what God's plan is for me in the future, but I do know that God wants me to continue to share Jesus with others. And whatever God has to do to enable that plan, well, God is going to do, right? God gave me two children that I could raise in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we could bring our children to baptism and we could teach them about the Word of God so that they can know and believe in Jesus and go to heaven. And one of them's there. But that's God's plan. And what's so wonderful about this time of year is that God gives us so many opportunities to share Jesus. You see Jesus, and I know in our politically correct world, they're trying to take Jesus away, but they haven't, have they? I mean, how many times when you're driving around the neighborhood looking at lights, you still see angels, you still see manger scenes, right? You still see the star proclaiming the birth of Jesus. Jesus is there. And what a wonderful thing it is for God to say, part of my plan for each one of you is to share the true meaning of Christmas with other people. And what a great week this is going to be, right? Busy week, maybe, but what a great week. As we are getting so close to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And what a wonderful opportunity and what a wonderful thing it would be if each one of us thought of a friend, neighbor, or relative that we could personally go up to and say, you want to come with me to our Christmas Eve service? You want to come with us to candlelight our Christmas Day? Have you ever done that? Or maybe it's even your own family members that for some reason or another have kind of drifted away. What a wonderful thing it would be if you just went up to some and said, you know, we're going to church at 7:00. We'd really like you to come along. How about it? That's part of God's plan. Not only to know Jesus as our Savior, but also to share Jesus. And that's what our whole theme has been about, bringing out the good news. It's not only praising God for sending Jesus to us, but it's giving us the opportunity to share Jesus with others. Can you think about doing that? Bring a friend. Bring a relative, bring a neighbor, bring a coworker. They may not come, but they're certainly not going to come if you don't ask. God has given us such a wonderful plan of salvation that you and I are such an important part of. Let's know Jesus as our Savior and share Jesus with others.